Today is the last Sunday in Advent, and as you can see, four of our candles are lit this morning. We are very close to the celebration of our Lord's birth as we move on through this week. We are doing the second and final part of the message we started last week under the topic, The Prison of Persuasion. We talked about how John the Baptist became persuaded while he was in prison regarding the priesthood, a personhood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. In this text, he sends his disciples to go and find out from Jesus if he was the Messiah that we were waiting for, because he had some expectations from this Messiah that was not being met at the time while he was going through his personal situation. In last week's message, we talked about how John the Baptist was placed in prison for his preaching publicly against King Herod, for taking his brother's wife, Herodias, and marrying her. We can see from John's situation that standing up for the right thing in an evil society can be very detrimental. And we see this in his life, because for speaking out for the right thing, he's been placed in prison. Jesus is being aware of this. We find ourselves in a situation where we live in a world now where you cannot speak against evil. And if you did that, you were speaking against society. And it's so prevalent in our day and time today. And Jesus knew that these things would happen. And this is the reason why he writes in Matthew chapter 5, verse 11, "Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man." This is exactly the time that we live in today, where people have excluded the church, excluded Christianity from out of society. That is very, very, very hard to speak out and stand up. This is the very situation that we find in the life of John the Baptist when he stood up. So today, what we find happening in our day and time is something that had been happening throughout history, throughout times, and people before us stood up for the right thing. And so let it be in our minds, embedded inside of us, that God has called us to stand up. We are soldiers of the cross, and we must be soldiers in seasons and out of seasons for the sake of the gospel, and do not bend on this. We also talk about how he began to have some doubts and concerns about who Jesus was while he was in prison, and how his doubt worked against his faith. And as we look at this, it must always remind us that doubts come in our lives to work against our faith. The many questions that come through our minds, the reason why they come up, and the devil brings up those suggestions to us, and society brings up those suggestions to us, is so that it'll work doubt inside of us, and so that doubt we work against our faith. And this is one of the very successful plans of the evil one that have driven a lot of Christians away from the faith. They no longer do church. They no longer do God. They do whatever is pleasing in their own eyes. Folks, you have to understand that the God that we serve today is the same God that was yesterday, who is today, and will be forever. He has never changed, will never change, will never be different from what he was before he started. What he is, he will always be. And his statutes will always be what it is, will never change. And society may try to bend it. Society may try to change it. Society may try to redefine it. But he's always going to be who he is, and nothing is going to change his standard. We also caution ourselves not to fall into the temptation of criticizing John the Baptist, because we all experience doubt and fears in one way or another sometimes. So some highlighted points from last week's sermon was that, first point was that what John doubted in this prison. And what we say he doubted was the presence of Jesus Christ. And we talk about how dangerous this can be when a Christian gets to a point where his personal situation begins to dictate to his faith. And he begins to question God and question who God is and question who Jesus is because of the condition that he finds himself in at a given time. It becomes very dangerous when we do that. We have to understand that God is bigger than us. He's bigger than our problems. He's bigger than the situations that come in our lives. And if God is bigger than those problems, we cannot just bring him and narrow him down into our world. But we have to see him as this big God who is doing a big thing in the world today. And that he's not just all about us as an individual, but about the whole world. So this first thing that we looked at and we learned from, second thing we saw in the highlight was what John discovered in this prison. And what he discovered in the prison was that faith is challenged when we are alone. That when the devil tries to take us out of the church and put us to a separate place, take us away from the congregation, and let us think in our minds that we can worship God from home. We don't need the church. We don't need the body of believers. And once we get into that place of thinking that we can serve God from home and we don't need the church, the devil has a foothold in our lives. And the reason why this is so important is because we become strengthened by one another. The reason why I'm able to keep on doing what I'm doing is because of you. And if I was doing my pastoral work from home all by myself, I'm telling you, I wouldn't be as successful as I am right now. But the reason why I'm seeing some levels of success is because of you. It's because of the accountability. It's because of some of your lives and the things that you are doing for God. When I look at it, it encourages me to continue on this journey. And so it is for every Christian who wants to grow in his or her faith. We have to rely and depend on one another. We cannot do it on our own. And that's why we are warned in Scripture not to forsake the assembling together of one another. The third thing we talked about last week was what John discovered in this prison. And what he discovered, but what he did in this prison is the last thing we talked about last week. He turned to Jesus for answers. For the answers he needed. Even though he was doubting him, but he turned to him. Because he knew that the world did not have the answer to the questions that he was asking. So he turned to Jesus. And when I see that, I see prayer. And the lesson we learn from that is that prayer works. No matter what problem you find yourself going through in life, you go to God, you take it to the Lord in prayer. Because prayer works. Scripture says, all our need has been, the songwriter says, we bear. And it's often because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. We need to learn to take our burdens to God. When we have questions, take it to Jesus. If you have doubts, take it to Jesus. Because the world is not going to give us the answers that we are looking for today. In today, we wanted to see how Jesus dealt with John the Baptist's frustration. And see how we can learn from his application in this situation. So the first thing we want to look at is John the Baptist was helped in prison. He was helped in prison. In Matthew 11 verse 4, it says, Jesus replied, go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. It is evident that the report sent back to John by Jesus helped him overcome his doubt and fears. And we can say this because considering the fact that John died a willing martyr for the glory of God, that after he received this message back from Jesus Christ, it strengthened his faith. And we see that in Matthew chapter 14, verses 6 through 12. Notice that what helped John in his imprisonment was the proving ministry of Jesus Christ. What helped John, I say this one more time, in his imprisonment was the proving ministry of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' response to John, he was simply saying, no one has done or will ever do what I have done. Look at my record and look at what I have done. The lesson we learn from this is when we seem to find ourselves questioning the validity of the person of our Lord, let's remember his very works. Let's remember what Jesus did. It's like a businessman who sells out his product. When he comes to you and is trying to sell, he will bring a sample of what he's done before and let you take a look at this and see what he has provided or produced or manufactured. And you can look at it and make your decision whether or not to use him to do the work that you want to do. So Jesus tells John to look at his work. And folks, the lesson we learn from this is when we are going through trials in life, we should learn to look at the work of Christ and let that encourage us. The work, given the fact that he came to our world, and as he was here, he went and healed the sick and raised the dead. And he brought courage to where there was discouragement. But not only that, going to the extent of going on the cross of Calvary and dying for the sin of the whole world and was buried. Not only that, but after 3 days, this Jesus came back to life. And not only that, but he is alive forevermore. This is the work that we look at. He's seated on the right hand of the Father now, making intercession for you and I. That's the big thing that Jesus has done. When we look at his big work, we cannot take him and put him into a little box, into our little world. But we look at Jesus as a very big, big God. So he talked about how we talked about how John was helped in prison. Now let's look at some things that were hidden from John while he was in prison. In Matthew 11, verse 7, as John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. He says, "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind?" Now, as I read this part of the text, I begin to wonder, what is God thinking about me when I'm having my own moments of fears and doubt? What is God thinking about me? Sometimes in our own little prisons, we whine and about how God cares less about us. We whine about these things when in reality, it is completely an opposite. But we look at God based on what we're going through at a given time. And we begin to ask the question, does God care about what I'm going through at this time? Notice in the text that Jesus sent a message back to John regarding the things he needed to know about. The things that he talked about were the things that John needed to know about now. It's the same situation we find ourselves in. But look at what he said after the disciples left. These were things that God knew about John that John did not probably know about himself. And look at some of the things Jesus took in account of John. In verse 7, where he asked the question, "What do you go out to see? A reed swayed by the wind?" What Jesus was actually saying was that John was not blown away by the changing wind of political or religious favors. He was not blown by those things. He was a steady rock. He stood for the sake of the gospel. He stood for the reason why God had called him. He was not swayed at all by the wind of the time. Today we find too many Christians that have been swayed by the wind of today, the wind of society, the wind of politics, the wind of religions. These things are driving us away from God. But here was a man who stood firm for the sake of the gospel. When we see the life of John, we see what God is calling all of us to. This is a man who stood up for God. And the church needs to stand up no matter what the situation is that life is thrown at us at this time. We must always stand in our faith and not allow ourselves to be swayed by the things that are thrown at us. Look at verses 9 and 10. Jesus is more than a prophet. This is the one. Sorry, I jumped. Let's look at verse 8. He says, "A man dressed in fine clothes, that you go to see a man dressed in fine clothes." He says, no. Why? Because this man came to serve and not to be served. And this is why he was in leather, in animal skins, and eating wild honey, and in the forest, preaching the gospel. He was not found in palaces, like many today. Many leaders today, Christian leaders, are building big houses and mansions and cars and these things. It's not what God has called us to. He called us to preach the gospel and bring souls out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's what it's about, my friends. And this was John's his ministry. He was a servant of God. God calls us to serve. So whatever we are doing, let it always be in the back of our minds and in our hearts that God has called us to serve him. We are only serving. No matter how high of a position you earn in the church, you are only a servant of the Most High God. And we must always see ourselves like that. John served God. The next thing is in verses 9 and 10. Jesus says, he was more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, I'll send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you. Now, the last of the Old Testament prophet was John the Baptist. The first of the forerunner, New Testament, and the forerunner of Jesus Christ was John the Baptist. He was the real special one that God has designed for such a great task. But as John was going through his own problem at this point, he did not realize how important he had been. He didn't realize the kind of impact that he had made upon society for God. And he was now questioning the validity of Jesus Christ during the time of his own situation. Well, you may be looking at all of this and saying, God can never look at me in this way because I have never done such great things. I tell you, there are days when I feel the same way too. There are days when I would look at other people who have served God or who are serving God, and I studied their histories and look at the works they've done or are doing. And I compare it to what I have done. And I say, I don't think God even looks at me. But friends, let me tell you, I believe that God hides our strengths from us. And the reason he does it is to keep us from becoming prideful. So he hides away the strength. And this is the reason why the scripture tells us that one of these days, when we get to heaven, Jesus will begin to talk about some of the things that we did. How when I was hungry and you fed me, and I was naked and you clothed me, and you said, God, when did I do that? Well, that's because he hid it from you, didn't let you see that you were doing something real good. And all of us in this room, somewhere, somehow, have made some kind of impact. And every opportunity we get to serve God, folks, listen, serve him. Because the little things you do for God is very special and precious in his sight. And let us not look at it as something small. Because as John prepared for the first coming of Jesus, every work that we do now is in preparation for the second coming of our Lord. And every single one of us in this room are John the Baptist in our own way, in the own way God has called you. And so as you serve, it is in preparation for that coming, for his second coming. Do not overlook the task that you are carrying out for Jesus, my friends. It is very special and precious in his eye. That's the message that God wants to bring to us this morning, that we should learn to separate the problems that we go through in this life from what God is doing in and through us. And once we learn that, folks, it'll energize us to continue to run this race that we have been called to run. For in this world, we know that we will have trouble. But let us know that Jesus have overcome the world. I pray that these words from Jesus this morning will strengthen your heart as we go through the celebration of this Christmas holiday, knowing always that he'll never bring us this far and leave us. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And all God's people say this morning, amen. God bless you.